Right, the time is 22 minutes in the hour of 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. So sorry, we apologize for coming a bit late today, late of I think about even 19 or 20 minutes, the whole 20 minutes or the whole 22 minutes. So sorry for that, and we will make sure that, or rather, I will make sure that I'll give you also the local, full local update of today. And please, thank you for coming back again with us, and welcome to the Early Morning Scoop. I'm your host, Lisa Shimi, and of course I'll be with you until the off 7:30 as usual, to give you the usual update. We're talking about the economic update, talking about the entrepreneurship, talking about policy. That's what we give you until the off 7:30. And I hope you're doing good. I hope your weekend was great. And even now, actually, for the other kids are still now in holiday, you not now be able to have that again task of preparing your kids to go to school or preparing the lunch boxes. So that is not there anymore. So I hope you'll now use this time to tune in on the Early Morning Scoop. Please join us. Join the gang, and of course you can able to get yourself get yourself updated, or you update yourself on what is happening around the world, around the country, and of course specifically around Africa. Now, before we dive into the latest economic update from across Africa, of course, please do not forget to follow on us on social media platforms. That find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn at Eagle FM Namibia, as well as on the Village newspaper page on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. And also be sure to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel, that is Eagle FM, or rather Eagle Media House, that you find us on WhatsApp, please, just for the daily news update and of course the newspaper alerts. And please stay informed on the go by downloading the Eagle FM app, available on both Google Play and of course the App Store. Now, to start off internationally, is that the we're starting off in Zambia, where is the chief Chamuka of the Alenje people in Central Province has advised farmers to safeguard their harvest. Now, the chief Chamuka says, with the current attractive price of 3.40 kwacha per 50 kg bag of white maize recently announced by the government, a farmer are likely now to sell all their harvest without thinking of the future. Now, he says a good farmer is determined by his ability to calculate the right quantities of food to store for their home consumption. Now, we might take a listen to this particular update.
And its importance cannot be overstated. By safeguarding harvest, we can ensure a stable food supply, promote sustainable agriculture, and improve the livelihoods of farmers and communities. It is in this view that Chief Chamuka of Central Province is advising farmers to safeguard their harvest jealously.
I'd like to advise all our people that they should guard their harvest jealously. Let us go back to our roots. In the past, determination of a good farmer was based on, first of all, calculating the right quantities of food or maize to put in the storage. And then from there, we should have another number of bags now to sell immediately to meet our immediate what needs, and also reinvest in agriculture. So in short, people should avoid selling their maize to any buyer who is buying below the government floor price.
As we speak about the harvest, it is important to recognize the interventions that contributed significantly to this good yield.
For Selenge District, we were under Ivacha for the 2024-2025 season. And our total allocation for Selenge was 19,097 beneficiaries. So the total amount that the government spent for Selenge alone for the 19,097 farmers is 160,414,800 kwacha.
Beneficiaries of both FISIP and SAF are happy.
The government has announced the 340 kwacha per 50 kg, which, when I look at my expected yield, I'm expecting about 80 bags per hectare, which is giving me about 800 bags, and go for the SAF loan.
natendeke kukuwa kujoina mu fisi programu unomwaka uwaringa.
All right, there you have it. Now to move on to South Africa is that the vaccination process has begun at the current beef feedlot, where Minister of Agriculture John Steenhuisen will now be visiting as part of his visit to Food and Mouth Disease Vaccines site in Gauteng. Now over 900,000 FMD vaccine doses from the Botswana Vaccine Institute have arrived in the country to deal with the outbreak that has caused increase in prices of beef products. We might take a listen.
Department of Agriculture says the vaccination drive is aimed not only to control the immediate outbreak, but to also bolster long-term disease protection. The foot and mouth disease has hit the current beef's Heidelberg feedlot and others. On Saturday, senior feedlot veterinarian Dr. Dirk Vervoet confirmed that vaccination has commenced. He says phase one consists of 30,000 market-ready cattle being vaccinated.
It will take us to the end of Monday, the 23rd. Day zero, in other words, Tuesday the 24th, 14 days without any new clinical signs in that population will take us to the 8th of July, and the first projected slaughter date, Wednesday the 9th of July, from this population. We also started vaccinating at our Nigel feedlot facility. We have 14,000 head in the feedlot. We have two shoots, and that will take us the best part of a week to finish that population. So day zero projected at this stage probably around the 29th of June. It is a full profile, not all market ready, so the slaughter from that facility will fit into the schedule that we have at that stage. All is going well, the teams are working, everybody is here, all hands on deck, and we are working as fast and as accurate as possible.
Earlier in the week, Minister of Agriculture John Steenhuisen said he will be engaging with the industry to find long-term solutions, demonstrating to the world that the country can be foot and mouth disease free. In May, prices for beef steak increased by 4.5%, stewing beef was up 2.5%, and beef mince shot up 1.7%. Statsa says the disease combined with higher feed prices contributed to the rise in beef inflation. Minister Steenhuisen says with the vaccination plan for the next week, he encourages consumers to buy beef and support farmers.
It's also having an impact on consumers, and I'm sure that people have noticed the price of beef has gone up quite substantially. And that
at my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHB on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo.
So as a result of supply and demand, obviously there was an outbreak at one of the bigger feedlots that supplies into the meat industry in South Africa, and that's obviously led to a compromise on the quantity of beef that is available. I think it's very important to re-emphasize that red meat in South Africa is absolutely safe to eat. Foot and mouth disease does not affect humans in any way, shape or form. And if anything, if anyone wants to help support our farmers, going out and buying beef now is going to be very, very important as we start the vaccination process, the quarantining, and then obviously resuming back to full production.
Meanwhile, the founder and group managing director of the National Emergent Red Meat Producers Organization, Agri Mahanjana, says the strong biosecurity regulations impact is felt mostly by smallholder farmers in the country.
If the government say, no, don't buy any animal which cannot be traced where it comes from, where it has been grazing and so on, it becomes very difficult to smallholder farmers to sell their animals. And if they cannot sell their animals, it means there is no disposable income from them, whereas they do have the animals. Whether the animal is affected or not affected, that's one of the biggest problems that is having the farmer itself and the consumers in terms of prices.
Right, there you have it. The time is 32 minutes in the hour, 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now, to move on again to the next item is that the Ministry of Education, in collaboration with Zambia Information and Communication Technology Authority, has rolled out the digital curriculum platform in Southern Province. Now, the Ministry of Education senior producer says the platform provides both online and offline version in the first phase, targeting grades 10, 11, and 12.
Forms e-learning has the potential to transform the learning experiences for learners in grade 10 to 12, including those with visual, hearing, or physical impairments. And the Minister of Education, working with the Zambia Information Communication Technology, ZICTA, orients teachers and launched digital curriculum platforms in Southern Province.
The platform has got three main grades that we dealt with in the first phase. These are grade 10, grade 11, and grade 12. Then we, in the three grades, we have five subjects that have been covered. We have physics, chemistry, biology, mathematics, and English. Another important aspect on our platform is that we've got what we call the virtual labs. So these virtual labs are there so that the learner interacts with the system.
ZICTA wants to foster collaborations between learners, parents, educators, and e-learning platform administrators to ensure a safe online environment.
And during our outreach, we're educating the learners, the teachers, and parents on common online risks, such as cyberbullying, online scams, identity theft, and exposure to inappropriate content that our learners can be exposed to as they navigate on the platform.
By providing personalized, accessible, and engaging experiences, digital curriculum platforms can help learners achieve their full potential and succeed in their academic pursuits.
And these with hearing impairment, we are told the app is coming with the sign language interpretation. So that would be a very good thing for them. They will be able to communicate with the computer well.
Let's ensure that we share so that our learners, our parents, can access the materials online and even offline.
Gift.
All right, there you have it. Now, lastly, on the international segment is that as South Africa prepares to host the G20 Supreme Audit Institutions Summit, and now the 4-day summit will now tackle issues of corruption, wasteful expenditure, and the strengthening of public accountability across G20 nations.
Practices that lead to fruitless.
No, absolutely. So good evening to you, Naledi, and to your viewers. We are privileged to be able to host my peers from different G20 countries, the auditors general from different countries, in a conversation that is timely, I believe. Mm. Auditors general that operate in G20 countries, whether they are developing states or developed states, are seized with a key question around how do we, as independent auditors of the state, add value into the governance of our respective countries. In terms of South Africa being able to host the G20 as presidency, I think it's another reminder that South Africa honestly does punch above its weight on the global stage. Mm. In terms of South Africa, we are then chairing SAI20, which is the engagement platform for the AGs of the respective countries. I want to just remind you that SAI South Africa has been ranked by the World Bank as one of the few institutions that do enjoy full independence as auditors of their state. Mm. We were rated as one of two that enjoys full independence in that we meet all of the key elements of what it takes to be an independent supreme audit institution. And of course, that's credit to the provisions of our constitution, yeah, of our enabling act, and the support we enjoy from the respective governments and parliaments over time.
Yeah.
And of course, we are also big participants as SAI South Africa on the global stage right now, serving on the board of the International Forum for AGs and doing wonderful work in supporting capacity building for AGs across the world.
Yeah, I think anyone in South Africa, whether you're living and you're looking at the challenges in your local municipality, whatever it may be, you want to know that there are lessons that we can take back to our government departments and certainly even to the AG's office on how we continue to hold our governments accountable. What would those ideal outcomes be for you? So the key questions that you would want to hear from your G20 counterparts that could help us improve.
I mean, much of the work that we're doing is building on existing conversations amongst AGs across the world around how do you drive impact through the work that you do. Mm. You are independent of the state, but you have a particular vantage point that nobody else enjoys, right? Because you see all of government in a different way. And so the conversation we're having as the size of G20 countries are about how do we support the development trajectory of our respective governments. And most of our governments have identified economic growth founded on investments in infrastructure in particular, looking to see how we can invest in growing infrastructure, mobilize capital for that, and ensure that we, through that investment, improve service delivery, but also drive economic growth and job creation. And we found that that particular theme is resonant across different AG's offices, whether they're in developed countries or in developing states. And the conversation is about how do you shape your audit work and report on it in a way that gives government particular insight on how it is they can optimize the value of the investment that they're able to mobilize. Then the second theme is about how do we get governments to optimize the value of the investments that they're making in developing human capital,
yes,
looking at skills, because developing skills for today and tomorrow is something that's a preoccupation, yeah, for all states. It doesn't matter where they are across the globe. If we look at the Sustainable Development Goals, the journey of developing skills and ensuring that people are able to participate in their economies and therefore in their democracies, mm, is something that is the preoccupation of all governments across the world. So the conversation is about how do we mobilize capital for skill development? How do we make sure that we minimize the fragmentation we often see in developing skills, whether at the basic level, at the tertiary level, or even when people are employed? And how do you make sure that the different institutions charged with different mandates in skills, yeah, development are operating appropriately in their mandates?
I actually do want to...
All right, there you had the time. It's 39 minutes in the after 6 o'clock. And, of course, you are listening to the Early Morning Scoop. We can take a listen to a very short commercial break. Then once we return, we'll take you through the local news update.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nonge shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moya o, ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia, ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randitoma yoe, yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onarahi tatu imu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
All right, welcome back. The time is 40 minutes in the off 6 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now, to start off locally, is that the... I'm going to start with one of our lead story. Please do not forget to subscribe to our WhatsApp channel. That is Eagle Media House, so that we can able to rather track all the updates that we send there, or the news update, and of course the newspaper alerts, so that you don't have to be left out. To start off here is that a market intelligence report by the Namibia Agronomic Board has revealed that the country's growing importation of rice to meet local demand offers a significant opportunity for local producers and traders to supply the domestic market. Now, the assessment revealed that there is a pressing need to introduce large-scale rice production in Namibia to address the increasing demand, tagging the Zambia Kavango and North Central Production Zones, which have import water resources. Now, the 2025 Market Intelligence Report on the Rice offers insight on what can be grown in Namibia based on the climate conditions, soil, and also what domestic and regional markets are available. Now, the Namibia Agronomic Board research indicates that the developing local rice production would create market opportunity for Namibian farmers and enhance the country's self-sufficiency in grain production, thus reducing its dependence on rice importers. Now, Namibia annual rice imports peaked in 2022 at a value of 28,317 tons, and correspondingly the import values sourced to 314.1 million Namibian dollars, reflecting both the increased volume and possibly higher market prices. Now, that's highlighting a remarkable deviation from the preceding years. Now, rice cultivation in Namibia has the potential to become a major source of income and job creation, particularly at the household level and across the country. That's what the report revealed. Now, the board also added that increased rice production could also significantly benefit Namibian farmers and traders in the developing world, offering them more opportunities to grow their businesses. Now, despite those countries' relatively small population, rice consumption also remained high, with only minimal local production emerging. Now, between 2018 and 2022, Namibia recorded an average annual rice consumption of 26,667 tons. Moreover, global rice consumption is one of the rice which also global demand exceedingly to 520 million metric tons annually. Now, this upward also trend represent a chance for Namibian producers to expand rice cultivation and tap into regional and international market. Now, doing so would also strengthen Namibian's agriculture sector, improve food security, and contribute to the global rice supply chain. That's what also the report notes. Now, the Market Intelligence Report analyzed the global rice production trend, consumption patterns, and potential intervention by local stakeholders. Namibia heavily relies on rice imports as domestic production remains extremely low to negligible. And on that, please do not forget to catch up on the full article in today's edition, the Village Newspaper page, and you can find that on our WhatsApp channel, that is Eagle Media House, or rather you can simply just send your details to 081-241-44. That's a number that you need to save so that you can be getting the newspaper every day it's released. That's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, to move on to the next item is that we might take a listen to whereby my colleague David Chombe spoke to Politica analyst, that is Helson Sindano, just to unpack this story or the update of the EU having the privilege to sit in the AU meeting as an observer. We might take a listen to their conversation.
Yes, we are looking at Early Morning Scoop. We are looking at economic development of Africa. It has been observed that since 2012, European Union has been granted permanent observer seat in African Union meetings. And this has brought a lot of views, particularly as different African leaders are taking different approaches in economic agendas in Africa, and also a lot of questions regarding the influence of EU when it's coming to championing and also funding African developmental agenda. For us to unpack this, I got into the conversation with political analyst Dr. Gelson Sindano, just to help us unpack this and what is the future of African long-term goals such as Agenda 2063 and also the areas of trade and integration. Dr. Sindano, good morning and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Yes, good morning, David. Thank you for welcoming.
Yes, let us look at the issue of permanent observer seat that EU is granted. What is your view on this, particularly when you look at EU sitting in meetings of African Union, which also, you know, EU happened to be one of the funders of many projects in Africa?
Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And also thank you to your listeners.
Yeah.
This began probably from 2012.
Yes.
But before we get there, let me just give context, probably why the African Union decided to grant a seat to EU.
Mm.
Now, maybe let's just contextualize the economic issues.
Yeah.
First, if you take the whole African continent, you know, African continent, the whole economy, the GDP of Africa,
yeah,
or the size of Africa's economy, even if you put all countries together,
yeah,
from Cairo to Cape Town, you combine it, it's just roughly about $3 trillion. That's how big Africa's economy is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds big if you don't have other perspective. Now, let's take a tiny little country in the world,
yeah,
called Japan. Mm-hmm. Now, Namibia is 2.5 times bigger than Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm.
But Japan's economy is bigger than the whole African continent.
Mm-hmm.
That's how poor we are. Just Japan, a tiny island 2 times smaller than Namibia, 2.5 times smaller than Namibia,
yeah,
whose economy is, you know, bigger than the whole African continent. Just think about it for a moment. Now that we understand when we say, you know, the issue of economic aspect,
yeah,
now we argue from that angle, from that size.
Yeah.
Let's come now to the EU and AU.
Yeah.
AU, in part, is funded by the United Nations,
yeah,
and also one of the biggest funder is the European Union.
Mm.
Maybe because of what I said earlier on. So that desire, you know, to have funding from whoever,
yeah,
probably compelled us. But to contextualize your question, what then this means is you have now African Union, who grants a seat to EU so that EU could sit there and then continue funding that. Politically, it is unacceptable. It's acceptable if the EU were to reciprocate. You know, all they have to do is, Africa, we are coming, we need a seat,
yeah,
and then we also give you a seat. But EU has not yet reciprocated in kind.
Mm-hmm.
If Africa allows you, why can't they do the same?
Mm-hmm.
So I think politically it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Economically, maybe because AU is very vulnerable. Economically, no one else can fund it apart from the United Nations and EU.
Mm.
But we know that Africa can fund it itself. It's just that the issues of priority.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very dangerous in terms of security. You are compromised.
Mm-hmm.
Take the AU building in Addis Ababa.
Yeah.
I mean, it was funded and built by China. And you remember there was a time when, you know, the whole building was bugged, there were wires there, was wired, and I think someone found that and people didn't like it. Africans were very angry.
Yeah.
But what could they do? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was funded by China, built by China, and bugged, wired by China. Now, EU comes in and sits. Why? Because they want to see and follow the agenda and the issues that you're discussing, in part because they tell you, we are funding you, therefore we should be able to influence policies and your agenda.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now,
fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will.
All right. Sorry for that, beloved to be my take, who rather might continue listening to this discussion.
Yes.
It's who must then control it. Okay, we are too fragmented. We hardly speak with one voice. So it would be very difficult for Africa to really unite and speak with one voice, open up trade, and, you know, that will result into a meaningful economic development. You see, the biggest problem is that when you're too fragmented, take Namibia, for example.
Yeah.
Now, you have a soccer player who is wealthier than some of these smaller countries. Now, Namibia must go and negotiate with Germany alone. Or Namibia should go and negotiate with the United States. Mm-hmm. United States, whose economy is $29 trillion U.S. dollar. That's the size of the United States economy. $29 trillion U.S. dollar. And then you have us on the other side here, where you have countries whose economy could be about $5 billion, about $10 billion U.S. dollar. Now you must go and negotiate someone with $29 trillion U.S. dollar. Does that make sense? It doesn't. So now the problem is that we are too fragmented. Even the issue of the agenda, you know, 2063. You see, the whole idea was we begin by dividing Africa into blocks. You have the SADC, then you have ECOWAS, you have North Africa, you have all these blocks. So that consequently, or in the near future, you could potentially have a president of SADC. So SADC becomes a state, and then you will have ECOWAS, you will have all these, you know, blocks. The idea is once you have blocks, they can easily merge and become states. And then in the future, in the distant future, then these blocks can easily merge, and then you have Africa, a United States of Africa, Africa as a country. But for now, as things stand, we are too fragmented. And the fact that now you have EU, who is funding you, who must then control your operation, sitting there. There are certain things that you can then discuss in the presence of the very same people who probably some do not want you to progress. That's where the problem. So it requires, you know, political will. For countries to open up, because as it stands, we are still suspicious of one another. You still have African countries where you can't go to without a visa, or you can't even operate a business without, you know, some form of restriction. Or we have internal xenophobia where an African cannot go to another African country because you are seen as a foreigner. For as long as you still have that mentality, we have not yet decolonized, we still have a long way to go. As a people, as nations of Africa, for us to come together to really talk about economic development. The Agenda 2063 looks appealing and attractive. Why? Because it's very far. But what people don't understand is there will be a point where we get there. You know, when these things are brought up, people make it look like, it, you know, we're not going to get there. By the time we get there, probably those of us who brought these issues are dead and no one will hold us accountable. No, we are getting there. 2063 is not far, it's near. But how much have we done in terms of industrialization, in terms of free trade? We have free trade. I'm asking you, if we have free trade, can you go to Angola and just buy things and then get back to Namibia without being arrested?
those are some of the difficult questions.
It's free trade, yes, in terms of rhetoric. It's the rhetorical appeal. The narrative, the rhetoric part of it, is very attractive. It sounds, the sound bites of free trade is good. But to what extent? Because among ourselves, we're even very suspicious. Because you find African countries that feel, look, hang on, our country, we have control measures. We can trade, for example, take meat, for example. Countries will tell you, no, our meat goes to China, goes to America. We don't want to ruin our meat if we open up our market and all these things. So you have all this suspicion within among ourselves. And it will take, you know, enough education and literacy for people to really one day reach a point where we come together as a people and then determine the destiny and the future of this continent. But as things stand right now, the politics part of it is good. The sound bites in every parliament, in every part of the of African country, the sound bites are good.
Let us look at the funding and influence. We are going back to what we have discussed, because like a lot of analysts, And I think I also want to get it right also. A lot of analysts are saying, when you look at what Africa want to achieve, is going to be a bit of a threat to EU, because we want to be independent, or we want to trade among ourselves, because it's the richest continent in the whole world. People agreed on that. Economists agreed on that. But do you think EU will not advise us well, or its influence will not get us to the direction that we want?
Now, the idea that somehow, EU is going to play for the Christmas and make sure that, policies, look, an independent, rich, and pricing all the minerals on based on the world market related prices will be bad news for the West. The intention is good in terms of providing you with social, safety nets. For example, if there's drought and then they give you donation, that's good.
Yeah.
But do you really think the West have the best interest of the African continent? It's true. You're right when you say, Africa is rich. When we say Africa is rich, just to give you context, Democratic Republic of Congo alone, the minerals under Democratic Republic of Congo, mm-hmm, is equivalent to the size of the United States economy. You have over probably around 25 to 30 trillion US dollar worth of mineral resources in Democratic Republic of Congo alone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that is not enough, Congo River,
yeah,
in Kinshasa,
yeah,
between Kinshasa and Congo Brazzaville,
yeah,
can produce electricity to illuminate the whole SADC.
Yeah.
That's the capability Congo has. Can you imagine with all the minerals, with all this energy and all these things? So we have it, but does the West have the best interest for us? That's a topic for discussion, something that yeah, we need to talk about. Yeah. Obviously, the European Union will influence the policy, for as long as the funding continues, the European Union will influence the policies in Africa. And in most cases, when we talk about influence, it's not in the best interest of the African continent or the African people. Mm-hmm. It's in the interest of the West. Mm-hmm. Because a poor and backward-looking Africa is good for Europe, because your resources will then be sold cheaply, while, handing out bags of drought relief,
mm-hmm,
beneath the shadows of darkness, they are extracting your minerals and wealth. So this will continue in the foreseeable future until the African people will reach a point one day,
yeah,
where we say enough is enough and we need to charter the way for ourselves. But for as long as we are funded by EU, funded by the outsiders, the idea that somehow the policy will be developed in the best interest of the African continent, it's an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
So, as it stands, the fact that you have EU on the EU on the AU seat,
yeah,
and AU does not have a seat on the EU agenda,
yeah,
the idea that policy will be developmental is an illusion. Is an illusion. It's a mirage. As you get closer, it keeps shifting in the far distance. So, yeah. Yes.
Yes, Dr. Sindano, maybe just lastly, as a young Namibian or as an African who we are no more the future, we are the present now. Let us look at maybe what can I contribute to the realization of African goals, maybe in terms of thinking and in terms of also my actions. Before we go to leaders, what can I do first as a citizen? Maybe you can also go to leaders lastly.
Okay. You see, I always say,
yeah,
in science, that's why science is very brutal, but in science, there's something called that human beings are tiny bits of nothing in this speck or a dust,
yeah,
a rock called Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you feel that. You feel you're so small, you're tiny. We are like bacteria on a plum.
Mm-hmm.
We are invisible. We are so tiny. And then because of this, we think my voice cannot be heard.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to hear me. No one will listen to me. Who am I to influence anything? No. you can begin educationally, start academically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the world is now moving to the fourth industrial revolution, and you still have part of Africa where we have not even yet begin. I mean, we have not yet even begun with second or third industrial revolution.
Mm-hmm.
Education, if once our curriculum, design in such a manner that it responds to the needs and aspiration of the African people going forward to the future, you can then industrialize, because then you will go to fourth industrial revolution. Africa can do it through education.
Mm-hmm.
That's the greatest equalizer, because once you have enough education, you can then industrialize and then even run into the fourth industrial revolution, where things will be, we are going into the future where things are going to be robotized.
Mm.
There will be, robot doctors. There will be robot everything. If I told you 20 years ago,
yeah,
if somebody held, a camera and there was a soccer being played on the ground, and then a helicopter hovering in the sky with a pilot and a pilot assistant, a cameraman, and an engineer, and even a reporter on the pilot. If I told you 20 years ago that in the future, 20 years to come, there will be drones, these guys are going to lose their jobs, you probably were going to laugh.
Yeah.
But this is what is happening now. So what we can do individually is, one, empower yourself in terms of education, because that's the only way you can industrialize. That's the only way you can think out of the box,
mm-hmm,
and make sure that we come up with industry that are locally developed, managed, and be able to implement our own policies. You see, once you are educated as an individual, you can move the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Once we do that, or at our own level, apart from education, even through politics, when you vote, you influence policies. You are influencing policies, things that you want done.
Mm.
Or you speak through democracy. Or yourself, you could run and do things and bring changes that you have always, thought about doing.
Yeah.
And then apart from that, now in terms of leadership, I always say, if you go in the Sun community, leadership in the Sun community is very interesting.
Mm.
Their leadership is entirely situational. If you go and find a stream of water, you become a leader, and then you lead the team, you go to the stream of water.
Mm-hmm.
While on the way to the stream of water, if someone, slaughters a kudu, and then suddenly that person becomes a leader because he leads you to where meat is. Now, in our case, the leadership that's needed on the African continent is, there must be not just about forward-looking and progressive policies, but empathetic and sympathetic. You should be able to have the empathy. When you sit in the evening, you should be able to think, I'm eating, but there's someone out there who did not eat today.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of leadership is needed. And also progressive policies,
mm-hmm,
policies that will move this, these continents.
Mm-hmm.
Progressive policies such as, you are willing to put the interest of the continent first over the interests of any. But the problem we have is, if we are too fragmented, it will be very difficult to develop, a united force policies that will move the continent forward. And that's the biggest problem that we have as a continent. So this is where leadership becomes necessary.
Yeah.
The ability to be visionary, to think forward, to think futuristically, and, to have what the Chinese refer to as delayed gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Where you produce wealth and then you let the future enjoy that wealth. But as it stands now on the African continent, we produce and we consume immediately, because all of us say, no, I'm not going to be there in 50 years, so I have to eat now.
Mm.
So we need leaders who should think for us, to think on our behalf, do things on our behalf while we too think, but not just leaders who eat on our behalf. Your job is to go make deals, better deals, that will, empower the African continent.
Yes, Dr. Sindano, thank you very much for your input. Thank you very much for your time, and also your valuable contribution and recommendation. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
All right, the time is 8 minutes in the hour, 7 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now, to move on to the next item is that my colleague spoke to my colleague Bernadette Seaman spoke to Chief Executive Officer of Namibia Asset Management to discuss on how, or that it does now, that the Tadetala Shanika, just to speak on how the Bank of Namibia urges banks to lower lending rates to ease consumer costs. We might take a listen to their discussion.
Yeah, dear ETLFM listeners, let's continue proceed with our early morning scoop. So today we are going to look on Bank of Namibia has accused banks to lower lending rates to ease consumer costs. So they said the Bank of Namibia has asked commercial banks to lower prime lending rates to align with the common monetary area, what we call CMA countries, which move and this move will ultimately bring down the cost of borrowing for consumers. Therefore, the Monetary Policy Committee, MPC, is arguing the commercial banks to heed the call of the bank to start aligning their margins above their repo rate to the levels of other CMA countries. So today we're going to engage with the Executive Officer of Namibia Asset Management, Chief Executive Officer of Namibia Asset Management, Mr. Tarashanika. Good morning, Mr. Tarashanika, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, Nelly. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you're welcome. Mr. Tara, I would like to ask, how does the current margin or lending rates affect access to capital money or money?
Well, I'm not so sure whether there is a substantial difference that would restrict access to capital by Namibian consumers of banking products, mm-hmm. especially debt. I think reducing the interest rate, the lending rate by the banks will increase access to capital because it means debt becomes more affordable, mm-hmm. Especially to businesses, but also to individual consumers. And I think it is just also a call by the central bank to say, because it is observed that Namibian commercial banks have higher lending rates than their counterparts in other CMA countries. Mm-hmm. South Africa, Lesotho, Swaziland, and therefore the bank is simply advising commercial banks to reduce their rates and have it on par with other banks. But I think the less the interest rates basically is the cost of borrowing, the cost of money. If you want to borrow for your business and you are borrowing $1 million, which you need to pay in 12 months. If the lending rate is at 10%, you will pay $100,000 more or back. And if it is 8%, it means you will pay 80,000 Namibian dollars on top of the $1 million you have borrowed in 12 months. That's a simplistic way of looking at it, but I think so it gives you a bit of money in your pocket. You have 20,000 more that you would have otherwise paid in interest when you repay the loan. So it means that you have better access to capital. It improves the access to capital by Namibian consumers of banking products. And I think it's a welcome advice that the central bank has given to our commercial banks. Mm-hmm. And it's benefiting the economy because, the less expensive the capital, I hope the more borrowing we are going to see and to expand our businesses especially. And hopefully this business expansion will result in not only the growth of the Namibian economy, but also hopefully a creation of additional jobs, which are much needed in our country today, mm-hmm. because of the high unemployment rate, and hopefully businesses are going to take advantage of lower interest rates to increase their borrowing for expanding their businesses, and hopefully in growing their businesses, they also create additional employment.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I would like to ask that question. Are the banks hire merchants indebting households and businesses, Mr. Tara? Or what do you think about this?
Well, yes. Of course, the higher interest rates will mean that households and businesses are paying more to the banks for taking loans from the banks. But we should also look at it from a different perspective, because you have two sides of the same coin. You have people that are borrowing money, and therefore when they borrow, they need to pay with interest. And that interest is basically the cost of borrowing, the cost of capital. But you also have savers or investors, people who want to save money in the banks. They save money in different banking and investment products, and these people expect the banks to also pay them interest on the money they are saving in the banks.
Mm-hmm.
If I save $1,000 in the bank for 12 months, I expect the bank to give me an interest on that saving. If the bank says I'll pay you 5% per annum on your savings, and I have saved 1,000, it means 12 months from now, I'll have 1,000 plus 5%, which is $50. So you have $1,050 that you get at the end of the saving term.
Mm-hmm.
But therefore there are benefits in higher interest rates. Mm-hmm. When the bank decides to reduce interest rates, it might also then affect the savers, and the interest rates we then have to drop from 5% maybe to 4%, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And if it drops from 5 to 4, it means that the bank will only pay me $40 instead of $50 on my 1,000 that I saved with the bank.
Mm-hmm.
12 months from now. But, of course, it means that also that if the borrowers were paying 8%, which would have been, if I borrow 1,000, the same amount of money, 1,000 from the bank, I would pay 8%, which is $80.
Mm-hmm.
And if the interest goes down, it means that I'll only pay, if it goes down by a percentage, it means I'll only pay $70. Instead of $80. So I have a $10 in my pocket that I can save from lower interest rates. So it's a double sword type of scenario where the savers could be affected negatively. The borrowers would be affected positively by the reduction in lending rates by commercial banks. But so there needs to be a balance between the two. But I think generally lowering lending rates will obviously impact the economy positively, because we would assume that the borrowers, most of the borrowers would be businesses, and therefore they will borrow money to expand their businesses and make greater contribution towards the growth of our GDP, of our economy, and employment creation. But even if you borrow as an individual consumer household, and you are borrowing to buy a house where your family could live, that home loan that you are taking out might actually mean that there is a contribution to the economy, because maybe the property market is going to be affected in one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
More houses could be built because there are more consumers who can afford these houses, because banks are providing them with the financing they require. And maybe it will make consumers have better access to capital, and therefore can afford to buy and own certain assets which they would have otherwise not been able to own because of higher lending rate. Mm-hmm. So there are benefits in reducing lending rates by our commercial banks, and we hope that the banks are going to heed the call to reduce the lending rate for consumers so that the consumers can find financing a bit more affordable. But we must also understand that in balancing this, the other side of the coin also is that reducing the margins of the banks might also mean that reducing their contribution to the fiscus, because therefore it might also impact government because their contribution to taxes will also be reduced. But as I said, generally reducing lending rates will always result in hope increased economic activities because of the ability of the consumers to borrow money and hopefully use that money productively, not for consumption, mm-hmm. but for productive activities.
Okay. Yeah, let's maybe come to conclusion, or let me say our last question is that given that the Central Namibia is the lecturer or is the main bank to control every bank in Namibia, or must he tell the banks or direct to them to align the margins, Mr. Tara?
Well, I think Namibia is a country governed by the rule of laws. We respect our rule of laws. We respect our constitution. Mm-hmm. The constitution has provided for freedom of establishing businesses. Every Namibian has that right to establish a business. And because of that, mm-hmm. The banks also have the right to decide at what price they are going to charge their clients for accessing their products and services. And it's not the duty of the regulator, because the Bank of Namibia, the central bank, is the regulator for the commercial banks of the banking industry.
Mm-hmm.
The regulator does not have that right to dictate the price to the commercial banks.
Mm-hmm.
They only have the right to advise them and say, because of that, you need to come down with your lending rates. And as I said, it is not that the banking institutions in Namibia have been maybe charging this unfairly. There are obviously pros and cons to the higher lending rate, as I explained earlier. But what the central bank really is saying is that you need to bring down your interest rates to the level where other CMA countries are, which I think is justified, and the commercial banks will understand the advice from the central bank and hopefully heed the call by the central bank. But it is not the right of the central bank to dictate at what rate the commercial banks should charge their customers.
Mm-hmm.
There should also be some level of competition within the banking industry. And you know that prices usually contribute to the competitiveness of a business. There are many other things that could contribute to the competitiveness of a business, but price is one of those factors that might influence the attitudes of consumers towards a particular business. And we expect that from this spirit of competitiveness or competition within the banking industry, individual banks are going to positively respond to the call by the central bank to reduce their interest rates. But it is within their constitutional and legal rights to charge whatever price they want to charge. Of course, consumers will eventually decide whether they agree to that price or not, by taking up their products and services, or refuse to do so.
Okay. So thank you very much, Mr. Teller, for being with us on Early Morning Scoop. And I would like to say have a blessed day ahead.
Thank you very much. Have a great day too.
Thank you.
All right, the time is 23 minutes in the of 7 o'clock, sorry, and you are still on the Early Morning Scoop. Now, that was Tadetala Shanika, who is the CEO of the Namibia Asset Manager, whereas he was studying more, or rather emphasizing more on the rural link, the renting rate, of course, stating that lowering the renting rate will also make borrowing more affordable. And also he emphasized that this improvement provides better access to capital, which also benefits the economy, and as well as many people will now also be starting to borrow more, and leading to business expansion, and of course finally the creation of employment opportunities will be there. We might take a listen to a very short commercial break, and once returned we'll take you through again to the next item locally.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Right, the time is 26 minutes in the of 7 o'clock, and this is Early Morning Scoop. Now to move on to the last update of the day is that in a year marked by escalating geopolitical tension, protracted conflicts, and of course raising global militarization, Namibia continues to stand out as one of the African's most peaceful countries. And the most released Global Peace Index of 2025 by the Institute of Economics and Peace ranked at 163 countries based on a 23 quality and of course quantitative indicators related to safety, security, ongoing conflict and militarization. Now, as global peacefulness declined for the 13th time in 17 years, Namibia held its position as one of the continent's most stable nation, and scoring the country's institutional strength and relative internal harmony. Now, according to the report, global peacefulness deteriorated by 0.36% percent in the past years. Now, the world experienced 59 active conflicts, the highest since the Second World War, and violence related cost rose to nearly $20 trillion, about 11.6% of global GDP. Now, sub-Sahara Africa, while also not the worst performing region, continues to face challenges, with the average peace score worsening by 0.17% within the context. Namibia continued placement among the top 10 most peaceful African countries, and of course within the top half global, serves as a testament to its enduring post-independence stability. Now, on that, Namibian's relative peace stems from a combination of lower militarization, stable governance, and institutional credibility. Now, the country maintains a modest military budget, avoids external entanglement, and of course has not also recent history of internal armed conflict. Now, in the 2025 index, Namibia improved marginally on indicators related to domestic safety, including lower level of violence climb, and is also consistent score in political stability. Now, on that again, this place, it's also ahead of many of its regional pairs, including Angola, Mozambique, and Zimbabwe. Now, despite those strengths, the Global Peace Index report also highlights areas that it requires ongoing tensions. Now, maybe I also likely many developing nations are facing underlying socio-economy that could also erode a peacefulness in left undressed, high youth unemployment, regional income inequality, and a growing informal economy are persistent issue. Moreover, climate shocks also such as reoccurring droughts continue to test the country's agriculture systems and rural resilience. Now, that was the last update of the day. Thank you so much for joining us today, or rather staying with us today, and please also do not forget to check through or rather read through our today's edition of the Village Newspaper page. You find that on our channel, that is Eagle FM or Eagle Media House channel, or whether you can simply just send through your details that include your name, your name, your number, and of course your email, so that you can able to be getting the newspaper every day it's released. That is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And from me, Lois Ashimi, it's a good day. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekiru wakaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafata na nana nongeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anageshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa onjika. Seitha nina omayakuro nirandithoma yoe yongeshifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara hitatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the